He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Know ye not that God's kingdom is not unrighteousness? In Romans 14:17, Paul says that the kingdom of God is in righteousness and peace and in joy, right? This should be obvious from reading any passage in your Bible, right? God's kingdom is righteousness, not sin. But here are the Corinthians, and they're claiming to be saints of God and in the church of God, and they're walking in unrighteousness. You see the problem in judgment here, the problem in discernment. There's something that they've forgotten, something they've missed. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, or thieves, or covetous, drunkards, rioters, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting. People use this verse quite often, along with Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians 5, to try to kick people out of heaven, is why they use these verses here. Homosexuals is a good example. Look at the verse. It says, abusers themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, adulterers, okay, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, murderers, okay? Put a sin down there. Don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And they'll use these verses saying those guys will not enter heaven. They can't. Look what they've done, okay? They will not. And that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying people who committed adultery, fornication, effeminate, abuses themselves of mankind, there's no way they're getting in. He's not teaching this. He's talking about what's right and what's wrong, unrighteous and righteous. And he's talking about inheritance in the kingdom of God here. He's saying that you folks are not those people anymore. You look down at verse 11. He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Well, what does he mean by, but now you're washed, but ye are washed? Because apparently there are people there who are going to law with each other. There are people there who are defrauding each other. There are people there who are fornicating, right? Doing sins the Gentiles aren't even doing. So what does he mean that you were like that before, but now you're not? He's talking about your identity in Christ, okay? Your identity, your position in Christ is a washed, sanctified, justified, righteous saint of God. If that's your position, then why are you acting like this, right? Don't you know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? Adulterers, effeminate, sinners will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unrighteous people will not inherit the kingdom of God, okay? Look at Galatians 2:21. Romans 3:10, of course, don't we know that there's none righteous, no, not one? So why do we think Paul is teaching here that if anybody does these things, he's not saved? These verses are not salvation verses. This is not Paul saying, this is how you get in the kingdom, by not doing these things. Okay? He's not saying that. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, if that's true, then Paul is just barking up the wrong tree, isn't he? He's making these lists of sins. And who amongst us hasn't had some of those sins? Matthew 5, Jesus says, he that looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery in his heart. Right? So it's there's a whole list there. There's none righteous. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Don't we know that Christ died for our sins? Right? And so 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 are not teaching here that these sins will inhibit you from salvation. Okay? Those sins provided your need for a Savior, and the law points them out. The law is the knowledge of sin, right? And now that you realize you're a sinner, and now that you realize that there's no way you can keep God's perfect righteousness under the law, you need a Savior, and that's where Christ's cross comes in. And He pays for those sins, okay? And He wipes them out. Now you're forgiven before Christ. So what's He saying here? He's talking here to saved people. He's talking here to people about who's going to inherit and who's not going to inherit. There can be no unrighteousness in God's kingdom. Okay? That's why before you get up to heavenly places, your sinful flesh is going to burn up. Okay? It's going to go away. You see? That's why when Israel and they go into the kingdom, He's going to judge them right there. And if they're not in the Spirit, if they have unrighteousness, they're going to throw them in the pit. Right? God has dealt with your unrighteousness with Christ on the cross. He's changed you into something else. And so there's no reason why these saints of God should be doing these things. And that's what he's teaching here. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3:15, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Look at Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2, verse 12. You know, Colossians 2, verse 10. 9 and 10 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh." You are circumcised, separated from the body of the sins of your flesh. Okay? You read Romans 6 and 7, Paul talks there like he's schizophrenic. He says, my body does this thing, but I want to do this thing, and they're separate. Thank God that he separated us. Because if I'm stuck to that thing, I'm going to hell. Right? And Colossians 2 verse 11 and 12 teaches the doctrine that Christ has separated you from the body of the sins of the flesh. He's crucified that old man. Colossians 2 verse 12, buried with him in baptism, you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Okay? Look at Colossians 3:24. Colossians 3:24 says, "You know of the Lord that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Christ has obtained for you already your salvation. He's obtained for you already forgiveness of sins. He's obtained for you already righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "You are made righteous in Christ, and he was made sin for you." Right? But Colossians 3:24 teaches a doctrine here that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to receive a reward of the inheritance. Now, we've read about rewards before back in 1 Corinthians 3. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15. "If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. But if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward." You see that? You committing unrighteous acts, you serving unrighteousness and sin, will not gain you a reward in heaven at all. Okay? Christ's payment for you, Christ's work for you, has given you salvation freely and eternal life. Okay? You are no longer ungodly and unrighteous in Christ. You're righteous and a saint in him. But your labor will be evaluated. The way you work, the way you behave will be evaluated in Christ, and you'll receive a reward or not a reward based on the labor you're doing. The labor for Christ in his ministry. We covered that back in 1 Corinthians 3. Okay? And so there is an issue here where Paul's dealing with these Corinthians, trying to get them to mature a little bit. All right? You can see where when people understand the grace gospel, they'll say, Christ has done everything necessary for me. I'm saint. I'm at liberty. And I'm just going to give up now. You know, it doesn't matter. Right and wrong. Nothing really matters. Well, there is a determination. There is a judgment. There is a right and wrong. Okay? And that's what 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 talks about. "Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? These things, be not deceived. These things are wrong," is what he says. These things are not God's things. These are sinful things. These are wrong things. And the Corinthians apparently could not discern these things in all their puffed up wisdom. But 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about the judgment also that we have before Christ. And Paul says, "Know ye not the terror of the Lord?" Knowing the terror of the Lord, we serve him. Okay? See, the idea there again is that we're not afraid of going to, we're not afraid of being condemned with the world because we know that Christ has paid for our sins. It's the glory of the gospel. Right? But what we're doing is respecting our new position. What we're doing is recognizing our new identity as a minister of Christ, a minister of God. All right? Look at Romans chapter 6. It's better to inherit something, I believe. I believe it's better to receive a reward than it is to have everything burn up. And when we face our head, we face the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be things that burn up when I get there. There'll be things that burn up when you get there. But I don't want anything more to burn up than is necessary. You know, so that's our orientation, and our orientation is that way because we understand righteousness and unrighteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness." That's our orientation. The question is, what about sin? Does this mean we can continue in sin, Romans 6 says? And Paul's answer is, no, God forbid. God hates sin. God dealt with sin with Christ's blood, right? He died for sin, so don't yield your body, your members, to unrighteousness. Romans chapter 6, down in verse 16, says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? If you obey sin, you're a servant to death. You're a servant of Satan," as we covered before. "If you're obedient to righteousness, you're serving God. You're serving righteousness." You see? Don't you know that whom you yield your members to serve, that's who you serve? Okay? That's why in 1 Corinthians 5, when the guy was in fornication and he wasn't repentant, he wasn't mourning, Paul says, let him serve whom he wants to serve. Kick him out. I'm delivering him to Satan. He's not serving the Lord, is what we're trying to do. You see? So that's the issue with our meeting together and our growing in the Lord. We're trying to serve the Lord. Right? We're serving Him by growing in the knowledge of the truth, trying to learn about this issue of sin and how to deal with it. You see? So that's what the Corinthians were supposed to be doing. They're turning the church into a madhouse and a symbol of unrighteousness. So that's the lesson in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. It's not that when you see someone do one of these wrongs, they're not going to heaven. This is not a judgment, an evaluator of someone's salvation. That's not what these verses are. Rather, these verses are an evaluator of unrighteousness. Okay? And there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we know that looking at someone and trying to determine their righteousness is not going to help us understand if they're in heaven or not. Right? Only Christ's righteousness gets you to heaven, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Okay? So that leads us to verse 11, and the last verse for this evening, where Paul says, after listing these sins and that these are unrighteous things and unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God, there's no reward you're going to get for it. Okay, you're not going to get, you're glorying in your flesh, Corinthians, and God's not going to glory in this. It's going to burn up. Okay? And you're going to have to face Him and explain why you're a saint of God and doing these things willingly. Right? And so why not try to serve Him? So in verse 11, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice what he says here. Of course, he's speaking to the group with that little two-letter word, ye. And you see the word ye, that's plural, you. See the word thee, that's singular, you. And so he's speaking to the group here, ye. That'll become important in the next chapter, where Paul switches from thee to ye. So it's interesting there to try to consider who he's talking to. But here in verse 11, he says, such were some of you. You were like these people that were not inheriting the kingdom of God. You were sinners, right? But they're not sinners anymore. You are not sinners anymore. We've talked about this. It doesn't mean you don't sin. This means that your identity is no longer that of a sinner. Your identity is now given to you freely by God's grace as a saint. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul calls these Corinthians, these carnal Corinthians, he calls them saints, not because of what they're doing, but because of what Christ has done for them. So in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Down in verse 5, he says, in everything ye are enriched by Christ, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And down in verse 8 and 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is your Lord, and Christ has done everything to make you sanctified, as set apart, and set apart to a holy purpose for God. Okay, and he's given you a position and a title as a saint. You have a title as an ambassador of God. Okay, well, you say, I don't feel like one. I don't act like one. Well, that's because you probably need to grow, right? That's because you need to study the doctrine, grow in the knowledge of the truth, and so you're in the right place to do that. All right, the wrong thing would be to deny that truth that you're an ambassador and a saint and just live according to your sin and your flesh. That would be just ignoring the doctrine, you say. So we have to understand these things that Paul's trying to teach the Corinthians here. He started out the book this way, that you are a saint. Why aren't you acting like this? Okay, why aren't you behaving this way? You're a big boy now. Why aren't you acting like it? You know, that's the grace response to bad behavior. It's maturity, growing in knowledge and doctrine of what's right and wrong. Okay. And by the way, maturity, even with little people, you know, when they mature, maturity is just a matter of judgment. That's all it is. What distinguishes a mature person from an immature person? It's someone who can have better judgment, right? Immature people don't have good judgment. They just do silly, crazy, wild, non-correct things because their judgment's off. And so good judgment comes from good knowledge, good wisdom, and I would suggest that the best wisdom comes from God's Word rightly divided. Okay, so that's how you get maturity. And that's what the Corinthians needed, and so Paul's teaching them this here. In verse 11 then, covering this washed, sanctified, justified principle, the washing there has nothing to do with water. Of course, Titus 3 verse 5 is the washing that Paul's dealing with. It's your being washed clean by your renewal, okay, in the Holy Ghost. Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, if someone's dirty, they're not new, right? They're old and they're dirty. If you're renewed by the Holy Ghost, made a new creature, made a new entity, a new thing, a saint of God, you're washed, you're clean. Okay? Ephesians 5 deals with the washing as well when it talks there about Christ washing the church with his word, okay, with the doctrine. So the purification, we dealt last week with the purging out of the leaven, right? And so you have this washing here. You're washed. You are sanctified. Your sanctification is not an ongoing process, though that you're ongoing trying to deal with your flesh. Your sanctification position was given to you by Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Christ was your sanctification. It says he is your redemption. He's your righteousness. Well, if Christ is your righteousness, then that means your unrighteous behavior does nothing to affect your position in Christ. You see that? God looks at you through Christ's righteousness. So what does your unrighteous behavior do? What effect does it have? Well, it sure does not gain you any rewards at the judgment seat. It sure does not help you build on Christ's body or edify any believers. And it sure doesn't help you do the ministry of the Lord. Right? And it sure doesn't help you look like a saint of God at all. So it does no profitable thing. The wages of sin is death. Give them up. Right? The grace response to sin is to stop doing it. You're a new creature. Okay, so you're sanctified in Christ. You begin that position. The Corinthians were justified. They weren't justified in their sin. That's a wrong thing. They're justified from their sin through the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because your justification does not come by your works. Right? The Corinthians were fornicating, and yet they're justified in Christ because of Christ's shed blood. Glory to God that God saves ungodly people through his provision. Shame on the Corinthians that they took that provision and said, I'm going to continue in unrighteousness. You see? That's the issue. And so their justification before God is not based upon their works in verse 9 and 10. It's based upon Christ's finished work. Romans 5 verse 1, you're justified by faith and you have peace with God. You see? And the Corinthians also have peace with God. That's why Paul has to step in and say amongst the church, we're trying to do a ministry here. Either get on board or we're going to kick you out. You see? And so there's an issue. They are justified. They are sanctified. They are washed in the name of the Lord Jesus because of what he did. It's in his authority that they're declared this. It's not by any other authority, because apparently they've got some misbehavior going on. And so I think we'll stop there tonight. We'll pick it up next week with verse 12, when Paul says, all things are lawful unto me. The Corinthians were trying to justify their sinful behavior by this statement. All things are lawful. I can do whatever I want. And Paul's response is, but not all things are expedient. All things are helpful. All things are edifying.